I said the other night, I was beginning to wonder, because since I have retired, a lot of our ministers have asked me to go on special nights and give a word of personal testimony. And I was beginning to wonder, did they think I wasn't saved at all? And they're wanting to make sure. And then, you know, when you speak around some of the meetings and you give a word of testimony, maybe somebody's been there before and they say, you didn't tell them that wee bit. You didn't tell them about this, or you didn't tell them that other wee thing that you included the other night. And I always laugh at that, because before we went to Canada, we were out in Calgary and Alberta for a couple of years, over 30 years ago. And before I went out to Calgary, I was at a number of meetings, and there was a dear brother from Randallstown, Brother George Bates, and George was at those meetings, and he was telling me about his testimony. And he said to me, you know, I was giving my testimony a couple of times in Lurgan Baptist Church, and he says, I told the people, I haven't time to go into this, but I'll tell you about that again. And then further on in his testimony, he says, I haven't time to tell you about that, but some other time I'll tell you. So he says, Pastor Lyle says, will you come back again and go into it all? So he gave me two cassette tapes, and they were 90 minutes each. So if you want me to go into it all, the tea will be stewed, brother. So we'll not go into it all, but we'll try our best just to give a word of testimony and tell you how the Lord met with us and saved. Now, I was born in 1900, and none of your business. All right. Well, 1948, that's when I was born into this world. And I thank God for the great privilege of being born into a Christian home. And I often say this, it was a brand new Christian home, because in that year, my father had come to Christ in the month of September. My mother came to Christ in the month of October. And then I was born in December, so they got the second blessing. They got the blessing, they got me. And I was born into a brand new Christian home. And they were saved in a little city mission hall on the Donegal Road in Belfast. The city missionary in those days was a man called John Gervin. And John Gervin, as you know, went on to become the moderator of the Irish Presbyterian Church. But in those days, he was John Gervin, and he was a city missionary. And he preached faithfully the word of God in that little city mission hall. And many, many men and women from around the Donegal Road were saved through the Lord's servant in those days. Now, I was giving my testimony one night there up in Portadown, and I'll tell you the way they advertised it. It said, nothing sensational, nothing sinister. How God saved him and made him a minister. Wasn't that good? I thought the poet laureate wrote that especially for me, but it was her brother Clive Elliott, a brother of the late Reverend Kenneth Elliott, at his meeting there in the Crossroads. And that is true. Nothing sensational, nothing sinister, but there's something supernatural, because every time a child or a young person or a man or a woman comes to faith in Christ and they are born again of the Holy Spirit, that's a supernatural work of grace in the heart and life. And that's a wonderful thing. So I was born into a Christian home. And as I look back on my life, like many others who were born into a Christian home, we cannot really think of a time when we didn't know the gospel of Christ. I heard the gospel at home. And when I was a young boy, I was sent along to church and to Sunday school. And I always tell people, I went to two Sunday schools. My parents belonged to Donegal Road Methodist Church, but as I said, they went to the little city mission hall on a Sunday night, and I had to go to later on I was in the boys' brigade, and I went to the BB Bible class, and then I went to the Methodist Sunday school, and then I had to go to a wee brethren Sunday school, Broadway Gospel Hall, and I used to say to my mother, why have I to go to two? Everybody else goes to one. She says, in case you don't take it in the first time, just get on, just go ahead there, and away you go. And that was it. And so I heard the gospel. I was on many missions, different places. And I remember, you know, as a young fella, when we think about the call of God to salvation in a hardened life, there are different people who influence you, part even from the home and your parents and Sunday school teachers. And we had men in the boys' brigade who were saved men and who sought to teach us the way of salvation. But a friend of mine, he was saved. And he immediately began to speak to everybody else about getting saved. And in the BB, we called him the vicar. We said, here's the vicar coming. Because he never missed an opportunity. And he always spoke to us. And we said, now watch what you're saying. Here's the vicar coming. And this friend of mine, Alan. Anyway, one night he wanted me to go to a meeting in Belfast. And the preacher was the late Pastor Willie Mullen. And I went to that meeting. And Pastor Mullen was preaching. And he was preaching about the second coming of Christ. And he talked about how the Bible tells us that two would be in the field and one would be taken and one would be left. And two could be in the bed and one would be taken and one left. And he preached about how we need to be ready. Need to be ready when the Savior would come or if he would call us out to meet him in death. And that really troubled me that night. And the whole way home from that meeting, I spoke to my friend Alan, asked him different questions, thought about it. I remember going into my own bedroom and taking the Bible out again, and I read through the whole book of Revelation. I was trying to learn something more about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that spoke to me. And then I remember one night, as a young fella, our boys' brigade football team, we used to practice on what they call the Bog Meadows. Now, for the uninitiated, that's where the motorway is, down there at the Royal Victoria Hospital, and the motorway goes up there just through our football pitch. And we used to kick football over there. And one night we were there, some of the boys from the BB, and we're having a game of football. And all of a sudden we heard beautiful singing. And they were singing that hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And then they were singing, Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And we were young fellas, but we stopped kicking football. And we sat down and we listened. And then the evangelist came on. And it was actually Billy Graham at the crusade in Windsor Park, and we heard the preaching of the gospel of a different accent, maybe in a more forceful way, even just as old Willie Mullen had preached with great power and authority. And we listened there as boys. But you know, there was one thing in my life that I loved music, and I started to learn to play the accordion. And I loved the music. And then I learned to play the guitar. And I taught myself to play the guitar. Dr. Paisley said one night, I was at a meeting, and he says, you know, Fred's an expert on the accordion, but I hate him on that guitar. And so I didn't bring the guitar to Dr. Lee, brother, just in case you didn't like the guitar. But anyway, I watched the television. There was a man called Bert Wheaton. He was a great guitar player. He came on to a children's program. I think it was every Thursday or Friday night. I sat there with my notebook, taking down the chords and writing where you put your first finger and your second finger and your third finger and what fret and what string, all the rest of it. And I learned to play the accordion because I loved the pop music of the time. And you know, in those days, if you wanted to know who was on the top 10, you had to tune into Radio Luxembourg. Suppose that's before your time. Yep. Your granny told you about that, didn't she? That's right. You had to tune into Radio Luxembourg. And when I came home from Sunday school in the afternoon, I would get very energetic and I would go out for a walk and I would take the wee transistor radio and away I would go to hear who was in the top 10, because if my father had thought I was listening to pop music on the Sabbath day, well, I would have been in big trouble. But I loved the pop music, and I played the guitar, played the accordion, myself and my cousin and a couple of others, we got together. We had a wee group, and we played here, there, and yonder, and entered talent competitions. Never made the top 20 or anything, but we had a good time because we loved that music. Loved that music. And when I left school and started to work in Belfast, and I was working in a factory, I came across people who were called Free Presbyterians. And they had a meeting in the factory, had a prayer meeting, and they had a gospel meeting. And oftentimes, preachers from all around Northern Ireland would come and would preach at that gospel meeting on a Friday. One of those people who was a Free Presbyterian was a cousin of mine, and he kept inviting me to go to the Old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church to hear Dr. Paisley preach the Word of God. And I kept putting him off and putting him off and putting him off. And then one day I gave in and said, "All right, Jim, I'll go with you on Sunday night." And remember, my cousin Billy, who was in the group with me, I said, "Billy, look, I've told Jim that we'll go to the meeting on Sunday night, so we'll have to go." And Billy says, "I will go, and then we'll head on out afterwards." And we went two buses across the town, across the city of Belfast, up the Ravenhill Road, went into the meeting. And you know, although I knew the gospel from childhood, and I'd been taught it in Sunday school, and I'd heard different people preach it, when that night when Ian Paisley began to preach, and my, there was great singing in the meeting, and there were so many in the meeting, the boys and girls were sitting all around the pulpit steps, and Ian Paisley had to sort of climb over them to get into the pulpit. And then when he started to preach, the power of God was in that meeting. And I thought to myself, isn't that the way the gospel ought to be preached? Here's a man who really believes this book. And he's not a bit ashamed or a bit afraid to declare the Word of God as it is in the Holy Scriptures. He preached. He was preaching from the first or the second epistle of Peter. But he quoted a verse of Scripture. It was a verse from the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, well-known verse. "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man." Dear friends, that verse really came home to me that night. The Bible talks about the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, or about a nail fastened in a sure place. That night, as Ian Paisley quoted those words, they came home to me, and I thought to myself, what would happen to me if God, the Holy Spirit, would stop speaking to me? If this was the last opportunity I would have in my life to be saved, and I didn't take it, I knew the answer. I would be lost. I would be out into a Christless eternity. And you know, again, he quoted that verse of Scripture, and it really spoke to me. And I don't know why. Maybe I was trying to distract myself, but I put my hand into my inside coat pocket, and I pulled out what I had in my pocket, and it was a Boys Brigade membership card. And we all know the BB and Sure and Steadfast, all these things. But it said on that membership card, "For the advancement of Christ's kingdom amongst boys." Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And then I quoted the whole verse, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And then again, Ian Paisley quoted this verse from Genesis. And it was the same as I was reading the scriptures here in front of me on the membership card. "Seek first the kingdom of God. And remember, my spirit shall not always strive with man." And Dr. Paisley made an appeal. I raised my hand in the appeal to indicate that I wanted to come to Christ. Then he said something. He said, "We're going to sing a hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. That thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." And he said, "I want all the people who raised their hands to come down and to go into the inquiry room." And so when they sang the hymn, I went down, came down from the back of the gallery where we were sitting, and went into the hallway, and there was the inquiry room on the left-hand side. And I went to go in there, and one of the elders, a dear man I was to get to know very well, Bob Gunning, Bob says to me, "Son," he says, "there's no more room in there. It's packed. Come on into the kitchen." He took me over into the kitchen. He sat me down. A few minutes later, the door opened, and in came my cousin Billy, who had gone to the meeting with me. We sat there. We didn't say anything. We were concerned about our soul. And then I heard Ian Paisley, and he said, and I heard his big voice saying, "I'll talk to those two young fellas first." Now, we might have been near the last out on the appeal, but the Bible says the last shall be first. And he says, "I'll talk to those two young fellas first." And he came in, and he talked to us, and he opened the Bible, and he explained to us God's way of salvation. And I knelt at one chair. My cousin Billy knelt at the other chair. Ian Paisley put one hand on Billy and one hand on me. And he led us in the sinner's prayer. And we prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our heart and life, take away our sin, to make us children of God. And thank God, he answered that prayer. Now, that was on the 21st of February, 1965. That's some time ago. That's a lifetime ago. But, you know, the Lord saved me. That was the call of God in my life to salvation, to be saved. And I answered the call that night, and I was saved by the grace of God. And thank God, he saves us. And he keeps us. And maybe you have heard the call of God in your life in different circumstances. Maybe by somebody like that boy, that young man, Alan, who witnessed to me. Or through faithful preachers who preach the word of God. Or a parents in the home. Or a Sunday school teacher. Or a friend at work. Or a colleague who's witnessed to you about getting saved. Call of God. Salvation. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But you know, there was another call came to me in those days. Dr. Paisley, there seemed to be a great heightened activity, if I could put it like that, in the ecumenical movement and the World Council of Churches in those days, and a great push toward unity with the Church of Rome. Dr. Paisley would preach about it, and oftentimes he would use the words from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 down to the end of the chapter. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" And again in verse 16, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their people. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And Dr. Paisley preached, but what we might say is the call of separation. And he talked about the great apostasy and the great trend to reverse the Reformation, and the liberal theologians who were speaking out so loudly and so long and denying the miracles of Christ and denying the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. And I really believed that this was right. And I decided I would love to be a Free Presbyterian, and I would love to come out from among them and be separate. And trouble was, I was just a young fella. I was just 17. As I said, my parents belonged to Donegal Road Methodist Church. And so my father, he told me I could go over to hear Dr. Paisley on a Sunday night, but I had to continue on in the Methodist Church. I had to continue with the Boys Brigade. I had to continue on the meetings there, and that worked for a time. And then, you know, one day I came home and we're having our lunch, and my father looked across the dinner table to me and he says, "Son," and my father had been in the Royal Navy, and he said, "I fought," he says, "in the last war for civil and religious liberty." And he says, "I better make sure it's in my own house." So he says, "If you want to go to Paisley's, you go on ahead." And he says, "The Lord bless you." For he says, "I would rather," he says, and these are exact words, "I would rather you'd go on with God with Ian Paisley than maybe backslide where you are." And later on, both my parents, my mom and dad, came and they became members in the Martyrs Church when the Martyrs Church was built. But there was a call to separation. But, you know, it wasn't only what I might say like ecclesiastical separation or separating from a religious denomination. And those people who were privileged to sit under Ian Paisley's ministry in those days in the 60s and into the 70s would testify that Sunday by Sunday that Ian Paisley preached the call to separation from worldliness, separation from ungodliness, and separation from the pleasure crazes of this evil world in which we live. And I remember as a young fella, Sunday morning after Sunday morning, being challenged greatly. And you'd say to yourself, you know, I failed the Lord this week in my work. Let the Lord down. Haven't read the Word of God as much as I should have. Haven't prayed the way I should have. Haven't witnessed the other people the way I should have. And Sunday morning by Sunday morning, as Ian Paisley preached and called men and women to be dedicated and to present their body a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, which was their reasonable service. And he called people to personal separation unto God. Now, at that time, there were many of my friends, Reverend Ron Johnston, Stanley Barnes, Ian McVeigh, and others who attended the old Raven Hill services. And many of them went away to train for the mission field. And I wondered, does God want me to go to the mission field? Some of them went to what they call the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade, the WEC. And they went to the missionary training college there in Glasgow. Dr. Paisley used to pray for them. I'll tell you what he prayed. He used to say, "Lord, make these wreckers. Amen. They're way to the whack. Lord, make the whackers wreckers. May they wreck the devil's kingdom and get people saved and delivered." And those were good days. And I remember different times praying and saying, "Lord, if you want me to go to the mission field, I'm willing to go. Just show me what you want me to do." And those verses that I read to you from the book of Ezekiel, the Reverend William Beattie preached on those verses at a valedictory service for the late Tom Lewis and his wife Doreen. They were going to work and to live. I think they lived in Vienna. And in those days they were going back and forth in behind the Iron Curtain and taking Bibles in and helping pastors and instructing pastors and helping those even in the underground church. And as they had this valedictory service in Dunmurry Free Presbyterian Church, the Lord spoke to me through those verses from the prophecy of Ezekiel. And when I went home that night and read them again, I became more and more convinced that God was not sending me to a people of a strange language or a hard language or a strange speech, but even on to our own people. So there's a call of God to serve in my life. And I was full of zeal and full of enthusiasm. Used to help out in the children's meetings. I played the accordion in the old Raven Hill. We helped out in the youth fellowship. We helped out in the open-air witness that we had around the city in those days. We had great times. And I remember going to speak to Dr. Paisley and tell him, I was going to tell him the good news. The Lord has called me to preach. And he says, son, you're too young. Now, they haven't told me I've been too young for a long time. But that's because of the passing of the years. He says, Fred, son, you're too young. We haven't had anybody in the theological hall as young as you are. So he says, you've got to wait at least a year. And you know, I felt, talk about feeling downhearted. But when I went home that night, I remember reading the scriptures and the psalmist says, wait on the Lord and he shall strengthen thine heart. And again, I say, wait on the Lord. And I did that. I continued on in all the meetings, the prayer meetings, the late nights of prayer, some great nights of prayer that were held in Old Raven Hill, the open air witness, the tract distribution, all these things. And you know, before the year was up, at a mission in the old Christian Workers Union down in Donegal Pass, Dr. Paisley was conducting a mission there. He says to me one night, Fred, are you still in the same mind? I said, I am. Well, he says, you write a letter to the presbytery and apply for the ministry. So I wrote a letter. I applied. And in those days, you had to preach a trial sermon. I preached a trial sermon, tried all the elders, tried the ministers, tried their patience as I had to listen. And we preached the trial sermon. And through the interview, we accepted. And I was ordained to the ministry. I was placed as a student minister in Portadown. And I was ordained to the ministry. I received a call and I was ordained there on the 15th of December in 1971. And you know, the psalmist talks about counting your blessings. And he says, if I was to try and count them all up, he puts it like this, if I was to reckon them up in order unto thee, he says, Lord, they are more than can be numbered. And I could say that. God has blessed me abundantly. And the old hymn says, for all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise him. And for his grace so rich and free, I never will cease to praise him. So thankful to God the way he led us in our lives and giving us a wife and three children, and now we have 12 grandchildren. We're so thankful to God for his provision for us, for his blessing. And I have had the privilege of ministering in a number of our churches. And I thank God for his presence. Thank God for souls who have been saved. And it's wonderful, you know, even as I conducted many, many children's missions around our denomination, sometimes I go somewhere now and a young woman or a young man will come and say to me, you know, this is my wife or this is my husband and these are my children. And I get saved in your children's meeting. Makes you feel old. But, you know, it's wonderful. It's a real blessing. Somebody saved on a mission here or a mission yonder. The call of God. Dear friend tonight, what about you? And this wonderful call of God to salvation. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means you, believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he says, whosoever shall call shall be saved. But the tragedy is, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The old hymn writer says, someday you'll hear God's final call to you to take his offer of salvation true. This could be it, my friend, if you but knew God's final call. God's final call. I remember taking a meeting way down the Ards Peninsula, and it was a real good, one of those real good meetings. Presence of the Lord in that meeting, singing, preaching. People were going home. This dear man, you know, he wasn't saved, and he said to his wife, you know, Fred Greenfield was right tonight. He was right. You never know the minute. You need to be saved. And his wife, well, what about you? Ah, well. Well, but he was right anyway, telling people I need to be saved. And you know, that night, that man passed out into God's eternity. Friend, we don't know the minute, the day, or the hour. While God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do no longer roam. Let's just seal your hopeless doom. My friend, be in time. I heard the call the 21st of February 1965. I answered that call, and the Lord saved me. I thank God he's kept me. And as the hymn writer says, he will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. And then he'll bear me safely over her where the loved ones and the Savior we shall meet. May God bless.